He's not a volume shooter. He's a volume winner. He's not going to force shots.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me as always on Twitter at redrock_bball. I also host the Locked On NBA podcast on Monday, so make sure you're checking out that show. We go 5 days a week now on Locked On NBA. Playoffs obviously in full swing, so what we're going to be doing in today's show is previewing the three games we've got for Wednesday, a bunch of game twos here in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Michael Bolton's ready to go.
Let's get to it.
Great idea, Mick. All right, we will start by looking at the first game of the day. It's always a lovely place to start, and that is the Indiana Pacers going back into Cleveland for game two after winning game one pretty comfortably 98-80. The major takeaways from that first game, if we have a look at it, Miles Turner, whose minutes were reducing over the end of the season, he was back to 34 minutes, and that limited Domantas Sabonis a little bit. He played a really strong game there. Miles, of course, his inconsistency can be a problem, but it is a decent matchup for him against Kevin Love, so we'll see if they go with him for 30-plus again. And Darren Collison, the bigger minutes there at point guard over Corey Joseph. Lance Stephenson doing his thing. But basically, the rotation from the Pacers was very similar to what we saw in the regular season. Not really all that much different. Glenn Robinson III, the little dog, he was out of the rotation as Nate McMillan went with a 9-man rotation instead of a 10-man. But he did that a few times during the regular season anyway. On the Cavs side of things, George Hill started, only played the 19 minutes. In fact, it was just a total shit show from the Cavs. Jeff Green started.
My name is Jeff.
As Ty Lue said at the end of the regular season, he was going to start for the rest of the regular season and the playoffs. I said it was a terrible decision at the time, and Green went out and had back-to-back 80% shooting games, and I said that's not a representative thing of what this guy can do. He was absolutely 100% atrocious in this game and was 0 of 7 from the field, and don't be surprised if there is some sort of tweak to the starting lineup with Larry Nance perhaps rejoining the starters, as he should. Tristan Thompson was out of the rotation, and Kyle Korver weirdly only played 4 minutes. I would imagine Korver's minutes go up pretty considerably here in game two, which is not necessarily going to spell good news for guys like the plumber, J.R. Smith, although he did play well in game one. Maybe Rocket Rodney Hood, who did struggle, or it might force Jose Calderon out of the rotation, or hopefully it forces Jeff Green out of the rotation. But that, of course, remains to be seen exactly what Ty Lue is going to do there. But he's got some decisions on his hands pretty clearly, given how poor three of those starters performed in Green, Hood, and Georgie Hill. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how they do run that as we head into game two. Let's look at it from a DFS point of view now. The Cavs are favored by 8, despite losing by 18 in game one, and the total is 209 points. Kyle Korver is listed as probable with an illness. I don't know. I'm sure that wasn't the issue in game one. They said that it was a matchup-based thing as to why he only played those few minutes. So he's one to watch. George Hill's probably the hardest one, or the more important one. He's questionable with a sore back. If he is out, I imagine that Jose Calderon will go back into a starting role and play mid-20s in minutes. It bumps up a little bit for Jordy Clarkson there as well. And you get some more shot attempts perhaps for Rocket. Not that George Hill is necessarily a big shooter, but that does open some things up for Clarko and for Jose Calderon. Let's look at the point guard matchup in this one. We're looking at Daz Collison, who's at 5,600, and he had a nice solid 25 points in 31 minutes in game one. And I think that given the way that point guards have performed fairly consistently against the Cavs, especially if George Hill is out, who's a good point guard defender, I think Collison at that price could make himself into a nice cash play. We know that he's been a fairly consistent player majority of the season. I'm not sure how high his actual upside is, but especially if Hill is out, I'd be looking at him as a nice solid play there. As for Hill, Corey Joseph, I don't really like either of those guys. Maybe Georgie at 4,000, he can have these occasional big performances, but with the way the Cavs have used him since he came across in a trade, He's barely getting big minutes and he barely touches the ball. So very little to see there. Plus the Pacers are quite good defending that position as we've seen throughout the year. For the shooting guards, we have to start with Victor Oladipo, who's at 9,800. He obliterated that price last game, had 56 points, and basically he gets three steals every game, which going by the FanDuel scoring system where you're getting 3 points per steal, that's a huge leg up there already for Oladipo. 56 in game one. I think he's a fairly solid option here. We know the minutes will be there. The defense will generally be there. He's doing it consistently almost every single game. The offense, he's a big part of that as well. On the Cavs, you got Rocket Rodney Hood, you got the plumber J.R. Smith, you got Jordy Clarkson. You can take a flyer on those guys. Perhaps Clarkson, if Hill misses out, could be a GPP guy. Smith is always a tournament sort of a player, never a guy that you want in cash. While as for Hood at 4,200, I would prefer in a tournament, I'd prefer taking Smith or Clarkson. For small forwards, another guy who is always tournament only, in my opinion, is Bojan Bogdanović. He played 39 minutes in game one and dropped 32 points, which at $5,000 is fantastic. But Bogdanović is a guy that can go pretty stale at times. But in saying that, in game one, his shooting wasn't excellent and he still put up good numbers. In fact, he was a pretty paltry 5 of 17 from the field and 1 of 6 from 3 and still managed to put up points to smash through that value. With Robinson out of the rotation and Bogdanović getting as many minutes as this, perhaps he could be considered a safer type bet than what he has been at any other time of the year.
LeBron James.
He comes in at 12,100, which is not a bad price. Happy to use that in cash. We know LeBron is going to get you, it feels like almost minimum 55 points every time he's out there, with 70-75 point upside pretty comfortably. He was a little bit down in game one, still had 57 points in 44 minutes and can comfortably get better than that. So LeBron is always a strong option, especially if you can find the cheaper guys around him, like a Bojan Bogdanović. That may work together, even in a cash setting. Lancey Stevenson's at 4,300. He played only 17 minutes, had 16 points. And yes, Lance can go off at times, but he wouldn't be a guy that I'd want in cash. And I don't really think he's a guy that I'd want in tournaments either. For the power forwards, really, really like Larry Nance here. He's at 4,300 and had 24 points in game one. We know that he can rack up the steals, he can rack up the blocks, he can rebound. And if the Jeff Green experiment ends and Nance comes in and plays 26 or 27 minutes, he should comfortably be able to get that. But we don't know that at this point. So that's why I really, really like him as a tournament guy and could easily be flipped to him being a cash guy, depending on what they do with the lineups. I like Kevin Love at 8,100 for cash. I think that's fairly strong. Yeah, he only had 36.5 in game one, but that's not far off where you need it to be. So I'm okay with using Kevin Love there. As for Jeff Green.
My name is Jeff.
He's at 3,900. Obviously shithouse in game one, but he can get hot. We've seen it many times. And at sub 4,000 for a guy who's potentially a starter and potentially plays over 30 minutes, that has to be in play for your tournaments. Now, if they do move him to the bench, I'd be really hesitant in using him. But if he remains starting, yeah, he's an option. Thaddeus Young's at 5,700 has been really poor recently. Don't chalk that up to something that's necessarily going to always happen. At 5,700, he's worth a tournament look, while Sabonis and Trev Booker, I don't really see much value in either of those guys. But of course, Sabonis had been cutting into Turner's playing time earlier, and when he gets those bigger minutes, the production comes. But I don't think his upside's really high enough to justify $4,500 of spending on him. As for Miles Turner, he's at 5,500, still really lowly priced, had 31 in game one. And yeah, there is some consistency issues, but I personally would feel okay with going with Turner here in cash. There is a massive element of risk, of course, and a lot of you won't want to take that risk, especially given that I'm sure Turner has burnt people before this year and people always, you know, never doing that again, which, you know, is a strategy that I don't abide by. I'd be happy going with Miles here, but it could very easily blow up in my face. Of course, Tristan Thompson out of the rotation in game one. Over on DraftKings, yeah, things look very similar. I think Daz Collison at 5,000 is fairly strong. I like Depot. I like LeBron at 11,500 a ton. Nance at 48. Everyone's in a similar spot. Bogdanović, Thad. Jeff Green loses appeal because he's $200 more expensive on DraftKings than what he is on FanDuel. But overall, very similar type play options over on DraftKings. If you look at it on Yahoo, you got Jeff Green who comes in as a minimum salary guy. So the same sort of rationale applies to him there, but even more strongly for him in tournaments. And even in a cash game, it's not a horrible play. It's not the best one because he could shit the bed like game one, but he could also turn it on at minimum salary. Love Miles Turner on Yahoo. Lancey Stevenson, $11. I think that's a pretty strong cash play on Yahoo. Also, Oladipo, Miles Turner, Kevin Love looking pretty strong. But LeBron at $58, I really, really don't like that. There are some other high-priced guys that are much cheaper. Westbrook, Harden are guys that I would prefer over LeBron over on Yahoo. Let's move it on to the next game we're going to talk about. It's the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Game one, a comfortable victory for the Thunder, but there's a couple of injuries we do need to pay attention to here. Don Mitchell, who left the game in game one against the Thunder with that foot issue, returned to action, but now has been listed as questionable, while playoff P. George, which is, let's be honest, an absolutely horrendous, horrible, disgustingly bad nickname, he's listed as questionable with a hip issue as well. Of course, George went off in that game, and if either of those guys miss, big opportunities are going to open up. If the Don misses, then you're going to have Alec Burks. You're going to have potentially Royce O'Neal jump into that role. If George misses, they could put Josh Huestis there. It could be more minutes, or it should be more minutes for Alex Abrines, and it could be Terry Ferguson moving into that spot as well, with a bump up in the pecking order for Corey Brewer, and also more offensive responsibility heading towards Carmelo Anthony. It could also mean more Jeremy Grant as Melo slides to the three, which could be an absolute disaster. Pushing Grant to the four. So there are a couple of different ways that all can go. I imagine both these blokes play, but at this point, they're listed as questionable. In that game one, instead, comfortable victory for the Thunder in the end. Probably a little bit more of a blowout than what the final score makes it look like, because Alec Burks dropped 10 points in the last 2 minutes of the game to bring it a little bit closer. Gobert really struggled in this game. Rubio was strong. Mitchell was pretty strong. We had Favors getting more minutes than Crowder, which hadn't been a usual thing for this Jazz team. Ingles struggled a little bit. Overall, though, the rotation played out basically as we thought it would. On the Thunder side of things, Russ and George were pretty strong. Yeah, Melo actually exceeded the Richie Benno. That's how well he played. Don't expect that often from him. He's not going to be a big contributor in many categories, but it was a nice night from him. Steve Adams and Gobert facing off against each other. There is the concerns with both those guys, how good they are defensively, and they both limited each other's production. Alex Abrines got some extra minutes, and he could be an interesting tournament guy, as I touched on, if Paul George happens to miss time. Corey Brewer obviously was active and played through his knee injury that he suffered at the end of the regular season. The Thunder in this one are favored by 4, and the total is 206, the lowest total of the day. Of course, we want to check that status of Mitchell and Paulie George. We don't know if... I think if Don Mitchell's out, this is almost a guaranteed loss for the Jazz. If George is out, it obviously helps the Jazz and evens it up here in OKC. But if the Don is not good, then I don't think that the Jazz have much of a shot in this game. At point guard, Westbrook is at 12,100. Fine with that. Absolutely no problem with using Russ there. Much like LeBron, you're getting 55 basically every time that he's out there. On the flip side, ravishing Rick Rubio's at 7,200. He had 41 in game one. His form of late has obviously been really impressive. I still not 100% locked in on him being a cash guy just at that elevated price, $700 higher than what it was in game one. But he still can be considered somewhat of a tournament guy. Dante Exum and Fatface Ray Felton, I don't think there's very much to see with either of them. At shooting guard, the Don Mitchell, 8,100. Exceeded that comfortably in game one. They bumped his salary by $300. The foot injury is a worry, but if he is ready to go, then I don't think we have too much of a concern. And I do think that he is a strong option, especially if you don't want to spend up and get the 9,800 on Victor Oladipo in that game one. Mitchell should be a guy who's pushing towards that 40-point mark pretty comfortably. And Abrines is the wild card here. He's a minimum salary player, and if George is out, then Alex can come in and very easily get you 21 or 22, which exceeds that value pretty comfortably. So he'd be an interesting tournament player. At small forward, Corey Brewer also gets that bump if George is out. He's at 4,500, Brewer. Even in itself, it's not a bad spot for Corey, who can accumulate those steals, but because steals can be a little bit fluky, unless you're Victor Oladipo, it makes it a little bit harder to use Brewer, but if George is out, I'd be happy using Corey at 4,500. Jingle and Joe's at 6,600 has been a little bit disappointing recently, especially in game one with only 15 points. 6,600 with a full healthy squad there with the Jazz. I'm not sure that there's much upside there in Ingles. Not a bad cash play, but still probably not one that I'm super into. While Paulie George is at 8,000, and if he gets cleared and ready to go, I'd be happy going with that and getting that 40 points off him. And for as well as he played in game one, he still only had 43 FanDuel points, which is not a massive amount over that. So to me, he's not a guy that I'm automatically locking into a cash lineup. Royce O'Neill's a minimum salary guy, a player who could get a bump if we see Paulie George out, as I meant, oh, not Paulie George, Don Mitchell out, as I said, also Alec Burks. The power forwards, Derek Favors is at 5,400, a pretty nice price there for Favors, a $300 discount from last game where he played 30 minutes and had 23 points, but I think upside's limited, and I think floor's pretty variable as well, making him not a superb option at that sort of a price, while Mallow comes in at 56 and was really strong in game one. They attacked him a lot defensively, but he played a lot of minutes, 37 minutes, 38 points, 5,600. That's a real clear win. Of course, he can disappear at times, but if Paul George is out, I'd be happy spending 56 on Mallow. In fact, I'd be pretty much looking at it and locking it in. Jay Crowder at 4,500, not a bad cash play either. You can get 24 out of him, it feels like, almost every night, and that's good value at 4,500. Jeremy Grant, Yonah Shirepko, Pat Patterson. Grant's probably the only interesting one there at 4,100. I'd take Crowder over him, but if George is out, as I touched on earlier, I think that Jeremy does get a boost in what he can do. For the center, Steve-O Adams is at 6,500. Obviously got nowhere near that in game one, but I still think that he is worth a look here. I wouldn't be locking him in cash, but he could be one of the best center options on the board. I do think that Miles Turner at a full $1,000 less is probably going to be a better play, while Gobert is dropped down by $500 to 8,000. Didn't get it done in game one, hasn't got it done against Adams most of the season. I think 8,000 is probably a little bit too high. I'd use him in a tournament, I'd consider it, but again, in cash, I'd spend down to a Miles Turner and spend up on your Hardens or Westbrooks or LeBrons going in that sort of direction. If we look at this one now over on DraftKings, Adams at 5,800, I really like it. That's just a super cheap price there for Steven Adams. And he had been struggling in that first game, clearly, and had an arm issue there also. But yeah, getting that price is really, really good value. Westbrook at 10,800 should be almost the first name that you lock into a lineup. That's a stupid, stupid price. Well, Ingles is down to 5,900. And I think there's some value there, but not one of my number one guys. I like Rubio, Gobert down to 6,700. I am in on that as well. And the Don at 7,800. Mallow at 54 looks pretty strong also. While Paul George at 8,300, that might just be a little bit too high for a guy nursing a hip problem and a guy who has been a little bit up and down. It is a pretty high price for Paul George there. On Yahoo, Crowder and Favors, I do like them as pretty solid cash options. Westbrook is one of the guys I'd spend up for over, say, a LeBron, while Brewer and Steve Adams have some tournament value there. But this is not the best game on Yahoo to really attack as much as what we may do on DraftKings. Let's go to the last game of the night. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Houston Rockets. Game one was a real, real weird game. The Rockets shot absolutely horrendous. Jim Harden took over late to get the victory. The Wolves shot distribution was atrocious with Butler and Towns not seeing the ball in deference to Wiggins, Crawford, and Rose. And look, both of those guys scored well. Crawford and Rose 15 and 16 points respectively, but it's still not your optimal shot distribution between when you've got Butler and Towns barely seeing the ball at all. Bielitsa barely played. Jiang only played the 8 minutes. I'm shocked that Bielitsa played only 6 minutes. It's a stunningly low number, while Rose played 24. I don't think that'll necessarily be the case every game. Crawford got the 26 there as well, but some interesting stuff from Thibodeau and that rotation. For the Rockets, there was no Ryan Anderson. He's questionable again for this one. Joe Johnson got some minutes, Gerald Green got some minutes, and Nene got some minutes, and all three of those guys, with a couple of them, probably Nene and Joe Johnson, out of the rotation if Ryan Anderson plays. I think they'll keep Gerald Green in there, who played 20 minutes in that game one. Ariza didn't really get extended too much. He was atrocious, only 1 of 6 shooting for 3 points, while Capella was excellent. Paul struggled a little bit, but he can be better than that, and we know how good Jimmy Harden is, of course. Over on FanDuel for game two now. Injury-wise, it is just Ryan Anderson that we're looking at in terms of if he's going to play. Luke Marmute will be out for the Rockets. At point guard, Chrissy Paul's at 8,800. Was nowhere near that, obviously, in game one. I would only be considering Paul as a tournament guy. We know Harden has this ability to take over, and the 8,800 is a pretty high number for Chris Paul. While Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
He's at 7,300, exceeded that, has been exceeding that over the end of the season with Butler working his way back in. I actually don't hate using him at that sort of price tag if you're devoting resources in other areas. As for Derrick Rose, he comes in at 3,600 and comfortably beat that in game one. I wouldn't be banking on it necessarily, but it's far from a horrendous tournament option. But just think about that, how well he played. Still only had 22 FanDuel points, which is fine, but it's not a massive, oh my God, he had 35 or 40. And if he drops off from there, then he comes back to being probably an undervalued player. Tyus Jones barely saw the court, and that makes me sad. At shooting guard, Jimmy Harden, 12,200, bang, absolutely in on that. We know what he does, and he does it consistently. Well, we go at 6,200. I actually think that Andrew Wiggins, as atrocious as he has been, at 6,200 with some of the other limited options on FanDuel, I don't think that that's a bad play to use. I feel like he's got a decent enough floor just because of the minutes volume, where it might be 26 or 27 with 45 upside, and that's not bad. So I wouldn't write him off. Say, for example, Eric Gordon's $500 less than Wiggins. I would much rather take Wiggins than Gordon, because Gordon's ups and downs are much, much larger than what Wiggins's are as a general rule. Jamal Crawford also at 3,600, like Derrick Rose, you can throw him into a tournament. I'd feel more comfortable using Crawford than Rose, but I wouldn't want to rely upon either for any cash lineups. For the small forwards, you've got Ariza at 48 and you've got PJ Tucker at 43. No real reliability on either of those guys. Tucker's all defense. Ariza has just really disappeared this season, so not looking at them as strong options. While Jim Butler is at 8,700. I imagine Butler will be better in game two than game one, and that makes him a relatively reliable player here. Gerald Green and Nemanja Bjelica. Green's at 4,000. If Ryan Anderson is out, I think Green is a GPP guy at that $4,000 price tag. For your power forwards, Taj Gibson only played 32 minutes in game one. I think that may change at times. He's at 5,300. In general, he's an okay cash guy at that play, but yeah, has struggled over his last couple, struggled in game one, probably not ready to go there. Anderson, no. Jing, no. At center, Karl Anthony Towns, $10,000, only 26 in game one. That's far from what you need it to be. I think you can use Towns as a tournament guy, but as I've said multiple times in this podcast, I'd rather go down at center than spend up for $10,000 on Towns, whereas Clint Capella's up to $8,200, and fair enough, because he had 52 in game one. Him being able to repeat that or at least get you 43 or 44 seems a decently unlikely scenario, so I wouldn't be expecting necessarily a repeat performance from Capella. On DraftKings, for example, Towns comes in at 8,900, and I'm right on board with that. That's really good value for him, with a big, big dip, and that's something you should take advantage of. Harden, Butler, Teague, and Wiggins. Wiggins, especially at 5,600 on DraftKings, is in a really nice spot. I think Eric Gordon comes in a lot. Well, I know he does. He comes in $1,000 cheaper on DraftKings, and that should open him up to become a tournament guy. We know he can get hot with his shot. Anything happens, if a weird Chris Paul injury happens or Harden happens, you could easily get 50 out of Gordon, so that he makes a tournament appearance at that cheaper price. While Capella, his price rose, but only to 7,200, so that still opens him up for some tournament value on DraftKings. On Yahoo, it's a bit more of the same. PJ Tucker, I do think that's a decent tournament option. He can have those weird, you know, hit 4-3 games. He's a minimum salary player. I like Chris Paul on Yahoo. I like Harden and I like Capella. So a little bit different to some of the other sites. You know, Wiggins probably out of it. Towns out of it. Teague, not so interested. Eric Gordon, not as much either. All right. Before we wrap up today's podcast, let's have a look at the Aussie sites. On Moneyball for cash, Westbrook, Harden, Towns, Oladipo, Paul George, Adams, Rubio, Teague, Miles Turner, and Mello. And for tournaments, Ariza, Bogdanovic, Wiggins, Nance, Don, Mitchell, Kevin Love, Jim Butler, and LeBron James. And on Draft Stars for cash, Westbrook, James, Oladipo, Steve Adams, Rubio, Miles Turner, Mello, Larry, Nance. And for tournaments, The Plumber, Jordy Clarkson, Georgie Hill, Jeffy Green, Jay Crowder, PJ Tucker, Corey Brewer, Bogdanovic, Dazza Collison, Paul George, Kevin Love, and Jim Harden. Don't forget, guys, If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, go and leave a 5-star review. It's one of the best ways that you can go about helping this podcast. You can also subscribe on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube, where you can leave a thumbs up, leave a comment, and subscribe. And check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA, plus all the individual team podcasts, Locked On NFL, plus all the individual team podcasts there, and our new burgeoning Major League Baseball wing of the Locked On Podcast Network, where there's Locked On MLB, plus about 8 or 9 of the individual teams. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net and the website lockedonsports.com. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Scott Brooks on Kyle Lowry.